is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. I want to welcome you to the September edition of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. We've got a great episode planned that we hope not only educates, but also empowers and ultimately encourages you. As you know, that before we can lead anyone else, we have to first do a good job of leading ourselves well. And today's featured guest, Bob Goff, is going to help us in regards to how to lead ourselves well, and will also give us some good tips when interacting with team members and those in our different communities. So whether you're leading a ministry, a campus, maybe you're leading a church, maybe another type of nonprofit, a school, a university, or maybe an organization in the marketplace, I have no doubts that this podcast is going to deposit some great value into your leadership. Now, one of the things that excites me the most about this conversation with Bob Goff is just how fresh his delivery is. It's definitely unique, different angle. There's obviously a science to leadership, but there's also an art to leadership. And for those of you who are not quite as systematic in your approach to leadership, you'll really like this episode. And for those of you who are very systematic, be sure to listen in for those systems that Bob has in place in his life, but how liberated he is within those systems. I think I've heard it said before that systems are not designed to control us, but to guide us. And Bob is a great example of that. So be listening for that. And after our chat today, I'll be answering the questions that you sent in this month. And I will say this, you'll have some very interesting questions. And we'll be announcing also who we're going to be sending the free books to this month. Those of you who sent in questions and engaged over the last month between last episode and the episode before that. So we have a great episode planned, and we hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, here is my leadership conversation with the one and only Bob Goff. Bob, thank you so much for joining us here on the Leadership Momentum Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be part of it.
Well, just to catch us all up to speed, let me tell you a little bit about Bob's leadership to give us some context for this conversation. Bob is the New York Times bestselling author of Love Does. Many of you have read that. Incredible, incredible book. On top of that, though, he's an attorney who founded Restore International, a nonprofit human rights organization. Bob is a highly sought after church and leadership speaker who uses bold and audacious life that he lives to inspire folks all over the world, and he does it in such a down-to-earth manner. Those of you that know Bob Goff, you know that he's just Bob. It's pretty cool. His book, Love Does, has now been translated into 10 languages, and Bob, you're a busy guy. You often speak about maximizing this life for all it's worth and living a life of adventure, but as you speak about it, you're clear that it needs to be done in a certain way. And that is with lots of love. Your book, Love Does, tells us a lot of what you've learned through all of your life of adventure. But it hasn't always been that way, right? What shifted for you?
You know, one of the things that I figured out along the way is who I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm not my parents. I'm not my biggest failure. I'm not my biggest success. I'm just Bob.
Yeah.
I love that I have such an ordinary name. I'm like, how did my parents come up with that? They're like, whatever. We'll call him Bob and make another one. Yeah.
Bob and Chris. You didn't get more plain than that.
Yeah. So I think part of that is, and the thing that I'm learning is that if we get this thing right, we're constantly changing.
Yeah.
Like this idea of being a new creation. So old Bob's on the bus. Mm-hmm. So who's the next humblest version of me? And I spend a lot of time thinking about it. I'm 57 right now. So I think of myself as guy 5, right? And I spend a lot of time talking to guy 6. Mm. And you know who guy 6 is? A grandpa.
Yeah.
If somebody will get busy and make some kids. So
they're behind the eight ball.
I want to make hoodies, like make people. But there's something beautiful about informing who you are right now by who you're becoming. And so, because I know I'm going to be a grandpa, I'm going to be at home with them. You'll never see me again. As soon as somebody says, I'm having a kid, I'm like,
over.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to be awesome. They'll be like, where'd Bob go? And you know where I'm going to be? going to be at home because this idea of stewarding your time in ways and things that last, setting aside some things. And one of the things that I've set aside is when I have grandkids, and this isn't for somebody else, just for me, I'm just going to be available to them.
In your book, you said, don't be afraid of failing at things that matter. Be afraid of succeeding at things that don't. And that's something that I've actually retweeted several times because it's just resonated with me. Tell me where that came from.
Yeah, I think it's because I was a trial lawyer and I succeeded a bunch of stuff that didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm like, I won. Yeah. And that lasts for, I don't know, a minute, you know, and then yeah. you move on to the next thing. So I actually teach a class at these universities on failure. Isn't that awesome? There's not a lot of universities. I tell you, there's like no law schools that have a class on failure. Mm-hmm. But this is just about how to fail.
Yeah.
And every week, I just bring in all my friends that have screwed up. It's actually a requirement to be my friend.
I know this is obviously already pretty encouraging to folks. Like, oh, good. Failure's okay. You know, failure's something that's going to happen. I think you say even, you know, you fail every Tuesday or something like that, or you fail every week. You also have something that you say about... you quit something every Thursday. I think that's pretty unique. Tell us a little bit about that.
Isn't that? Do you ever feel like you're, I feel like a scene out of Hoarders every once in a while. You get so much stuff accumulated in your life. And even sometimes some relationships have been a little rocky and you carry that around. And I just like that idea. Every Thursday, I just pick one thing and it could be a board of directors. It could be something I've been holding in my heart against somebody. And I just say, it's out. I don't try to figure out why. It's just out. That was before. This is now. And it's all part of this new creation thing. I want to become the next humblest version of me. So how do I get there? One way is to spend some time with like the next. If you're in your 30s, you're like person number three, talk to person number four. But don't forget that 8-year-old version of you. The one that the childlike, that's Matthew 18:2, this idea of a childlike faith. And I think what we do is take who we are right now, who we're becoming, and then that kid, the one that said, we could do this thing. And I think all three of us make a well-adjusted person.
Yeah.
You know, we just move through life and set the right things aside. I have a place up in Canada. And it's like many, many acres at this inlet and just a beautiful place. And the first thing I did with that, and it was part of stewardship for my family, is I deed restricted thousands and thousands of acres. I said, nobody for the history of Earth can cut these trees down.
Wow.
Like as soon as you deed restrict it, nobody can ever cut it down. What if you picked a couple things in your life that are worth losing, like one every Thursday, but pick a couple things that are worth keeping and set those aside. It's like deed restricting them. Saying like nobody's, that is one thing. Start with your family. Say nobody's getting in the way of that.
Mm-mm. Wow.
Wouldn't that be terrific? Maybe to write your resignation letter, address it, stamp it, and give it to your spouse and say, if this job ever gets in my way, just mail that puppy in.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great? Giving each other your proxy, that's a great way to steward your career.
Yeah.
To say there's some things are set aside, and you know what? This relationship is. You can even do it within your friendship and say, like, there's, we are in this together. I've already picked my side. Doesn't mean I'm going to be like picking on other people for you, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to give you a bunch of words of correction. I'm just with you.
Yeah.
You'll know. What we started doing around our house has stopped saying obvious things.
Really?
I added 30 years to my life because we just don't say the stuff that's obvious.
Yeah.
It's just been really great. So I run it through a little sieve. I go like, is that like totally obvious when somebody like wrecks your car to say, be more careful next time? Don't say a word.
Wow.
Don't like give them the hairy eyeball. Just be like, all right. Like
that is such good advice. I mean, so many times I've stuck my foot in my mouth and said something like that. And You obviously have heard before of think before you speak, but that is such a good thing to, I wonder how, you know, when thinking about stewarding our relationships, how much more life-giving our relationships would be if we'd actually do that filter.
Yeah, if you just had that little like breaker panel and say, actually, that's pretty obvious to everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And so I just won't say that. What else? There's a lot of words out there to choose from.
Yeah.
What if I pick one that isn't the obvious one everybody's thinking of?
But it takes some thought. It takes some intentionality.
Yeah.
And it's something that we all don't do enough.
You know, one thing when you mentioned stewarding our words and our relationships, I started, I bet a year and a half ago, When I say a sharp or critical word to somebody, mm-hmm. I've got this little app on my iPhone. I give away $500 per word.
Oh my goodness.
And you know what I do now when somebody says something kind of janky to me and I'm ready to, I'm a lawyer. I mean, like yeah. I got a quick tongue, but when I'm about to say something, I just think, I only am going to say what I can afford.
That's hilarious. Folks, I'm thinking about instigating him a little bit here because I'm thinking about getting, I want to get paid.
Yeah, you could get some cash out of this deal. Just bait me. But you won't see me swinging for every pitch, even on social media and all that. Somebody will say something kind of wonky. I'm like, I'd rather go to Maui. Literally.
That's so good.
I'm not going to say something. And what I've learned in practicing law, and it would work out pretty good in stewarding our families, is to figure out which arguments to lose.
Yeah.
And the fact is, it's most of them.
Wow.
Instead of being like the sheriff and trying to be right, I'm trying to be humble. Because you can be correct and not right. You know what I mean?
That's so good.
And you'd be like, oh, I just don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I just want to be the person with other people that is like kind of like Switzerland. I actually spoke at a thing that was kind of angsty and people are sending all these like mean tweets to each other. And I was like, I literally tried to cancel out of it three times. I'm
really?
Like, dude, I'm not your guy. I'm just, I'm the balloon
guy. A drama filled environment.
Yeah, just like, what makes for a great daytime TV doesn't make for a great life.
Yeah.
So they said I couldn't. So I went there. I had a shirt made. It's red. It has a white cross on it. I brought a bar of chocolate and a bobsled. I'm like, I'm Switzerland. I'm like, everybody take a breath. We'll hand out paper bags. You can breathe into them. But just like, I'm just not that guy.
That is so good. Folks, this is a huge takeaway here. There's an intentionality of not bringing drama into your life. And there's a lack of intentionality when we do bring drama into our lives. So now you wrote Love Does. You weave the stories of your life and the adventures to give us a glimpse of the life that we could be living. Among the many quotes in the book, I wanted to quote a few of the most important lessons. And if you can, I want you to tell me the inspiration behind them. One of them is sharing your life with the right people is really important. And of course, you've obviously mentioned Miss Sweet Marie several times. Tell us a little bit about that quote.
Oh, she's terrific. Yeah, I got dibs on her, you know, 29 years ago. And what I've learning is that while she and I are very different, mm-hmm. that I'm not trying to be like her and she's not trying to be like me, but we're trying to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
And to say, how do you pull that off? And the way you do it is humbly. Like, get out your red shirt, mm-hmm. white cross, bar of chocolate, give it to your spouse.
Yeah.
Like, literally, be Switzerland. We just don't, everything doesn't need to be Gettysburg. Like, you just be like, hey, let's just, one of the things we do, you know, is play catch. Mm-hmm. We just, and with the funny part, none of us like baseball, but we just play catch because we're like actually with each other. And we talk about the things that matter the most to us. So we've been very intentional in stewarding that part of our relationship.
Yeah.
One thing we do is I get home. Like, literally, I'll leave here, I'll be home for supper.
Yeah.
Most of the time, Marie doesn't even know where I am. Like, literally, she drops me off at the airport in the morning, and I go somewhere, and when people ask her, where's Bob, you know what she says? He's on his way home.
Oh, wow.
Like, right?
Yeah.
And I told her, like, you got the letter. If I'm ever not on my way home, if you feel like I'm, like, distracted by this other stuff, just mail it to me.
Yeah.
And it says, you quit.
When you think about this whole idea of playing catch, really what it means is being present. Do you have to be present to play catch? Otherwise, I think I've heard you say before that, like this, for instance, if you're on your phone, you're going to get hit in the teeth. How important is being present for you? When you're in Uganda, being present. When you're home, being present. When you're in Switzerland, being present. How important is that to you?
Yeah, you know, what we've done to help me get there is not only these little waypoints like playing catch with one another, mm-hmm. but the people that help me out, they only tell me what I'm doing today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy? Like, today, tomorrow, and the next day.
Uh-huh.
After that, literally, you could ask them, phone them up right now, they won't tell you. They won't tell me. And it's been on purpose for the last couple of years because it helps me not be living next week, but just like be right here. All I'm thinking about is I'm right here with you and no one home for supper. And if we could build a couple of those things in, it's almost like one of those ideas of quitting things on Thursday, Say, what's one more thing I could let go of that would help me? You know one thing I quit on a Thursday 3 years ago? Appointments. It's been terrific. Can you imagine a lawyer who doesn't take appointments? But when people call and they say, can we meet? I'm like, sure. And they go like, how about next Thursday at 2? I'm like, oh, forget it. But like right now, like awesome. Or call me next Thursday at 2. And
right.
I'll tell you, I'd be lying if I sat in an appointment. It's been the best thing, Chris. I'm just like free. You're welcome. Just cancel. Don't even wait till Thursday to quit that. Just say, I just don't do those anymore. Yeah. And obviously, there'll be things in your life that are going to make it onto a calendar. That's terrific. Yeah. Don't feel bad about it. But it's all the other stuff. And usually what I found I was doing is really deferring. Like I really didn't want to meet, but I said, how about next week, next month, next decade? And what I was doing was just making more of a traffic jam in my calendar. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be me. And was just like, I said, I'm out. And the crazy part now, within months of doing that, everybody knows, oh yeah, Bob doesn't make appointments. You get to make your own rules. It's awesome. You should do that. I'm talking to you pastors right now.
Yeah.
Cancel them. Yeah. Literally say, oh, I don't do that.
Right.
Hang a walkie-talkie from the tree out in front and say, but I've got the other walkie-talkie. Anytime you want to call me, just, and I know they could use their cell phones. It'd be so much more awesome on a walkie-talkie. Just say, hey, I'm available. If you want to go to the tree, I'll be listening.
That's so cool. And then you mentioned pastors. And of course, we've got some that are volunteering in church. We've got people on staff. We've got pastors listening in. You've got one quote in the book that says, religion tastes awful, especially when you eat the fake stuff. Explain that for us.
Oh, yeah. I'd gone to the refrigerator to get some cream cheese for this bagel of mine. And it turned out there was it was Crisco, that white stuff that looks just like cream cheese. And I put a big old glob on the bagel and spread it around and took a little bite. It just didn't taste good. I thought there wasn't enough cream cheese on it. So I put more on and I ate the whole bagel with that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? And it like, then Maria pulls out the wrapper and it was like, it was the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
And it looked like the right stuff. And it didn't taste right, but I thought, well, maybe if I just had some more of that, it would taste right. And I think sometimes we do that in our relationships. And I think one of the things we could do is kind of pull the jocks on that. Just say, I'm just not going to do that anymore. What I'm going to do is say, who am I now? Who am I becoming? And is this going to help me get there?
Yeah.
And to say, is I spent my whole life doing all these things, trying to make them work. And I think a change for me is I'm trying to do things that last. Mm. And I'll tell you, your family's a last. I spent a lot of time in Uganda, 17 years, and I am the consul general for Uganda. Actually, wherever I am is Uganda. Like literally, this office is now Uganda. Isn't that awesome?
Sweet. I'm in Uganda, folks.
And I have diplomatic immunity. I could probably kill you. So one of the things that happens is we need to realize that we're just in a place where we get to make some rules that are going to last in our life. And I say, some of the things we spend so much time, like pumping up these tires that have holes in them, just say, we're not doing that anymore because it's not going to last. Oh, I got a great example. Remember Pet Rocks? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If somebody realized after about a year, they're like, dude, it's a rock.
I better put mine away, folks.
I paid $25 for a rock. It worked for a while, but it didn't last. And I think I want to do those things in my life that last.
Yeah. Bob, do you think that a lot of times we're spending time studying about Jesus instead of being with him?
Oh, yeah. We just play catch with God. Like literally, we want to learn all these things and we go all Greek and Hebrew on it. And I'm like, they say these words and I go like, I'm still trying to figure out the English version of that. And that's why if Jesus is the smartest guy that ever walked the earth, he grabs a piece of wheat and he just says, it's kind of like this. He points to this like sheep and he says, it's like a sheep that got away. And he talks about a kid and it's like a kid that got away and then he came back. And I don't think he was dumbing it down for people. I think what he did is he knew that stories like that would matter in people's lives and a bunch of information, it actually wouldn't. It would just, it's not that the information is bad, it's that people are looking for purpose. They're not looking for information. We keep giving them information and they keep leaving. And we're like scratching our head. It's because, so do that with your family. Just start telling them stories and write them down. You don't have to be an author. Just write them down. Here's one of the things I'm learning, kind of current events, because I'm writing this next book. And the best chapter titles come later.
Oh, really?
Right. So like a chapter in your life that you might think of as titled rejection, a little bit later, it's happened in your life and mine, I would title it later release.
Wow.
Something that would be titled like, I'm out. Maybe some of the people listening, leading businesses or faith communities, or they're just like, I'm out. Mm. But then a little bit later, you know, the right chapter title, I'm in. So just pausing a little bit and say, you know, the best titles come later. And so not jumping to that. So write down what you're learning. I do it. I send myself 60 emails a day. Literally, yeah. Things I'm thinking about all day long. I send them to myself. It's awesome. I get home, I'm like, him again? Blah.
Spam.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't want this stuff. If I don't write it down, it's like this dog that runs across the field and I whistle and it never comes back.
Yeah.
So if we talk about something and it kind of pings me, I'm going to write that down away. And I haven't had a quiet time in 25 years. Mine are super loud. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll take everything I've been thinking about the day before. I say, I know it sounds right, but is it actually true?
Wow.
There's a big difference between things that sound right and things that are actually true. And I actually read scripture to say, yeah, I mean, scripture's silent on surfboards. I got a lot of things I think about that.
Yeah.
But what about the things that actually were there some truth? And James and Timothy and like so many other books in the Bible talk about people that don't have sound doctrine. They don't have a right view of things. So I just want to be that guy. Before I ever tweet anything, I figure out that that's actually true. It's like my circuit breaker. And if we could do that before we talk to our kids or our wives, say, I know it sounds right, but is this actually true? Mm-hmm. Is it not the obvious thing? Is this something that's going to last in their life for good or for bad? Yeah. A harsh word? You know, is this one where I need to give away $500? What if I just don't and not have my words cost me my family?
You say in the book, don't wait for every door to be open for you. Get ready to kick a few down. And of course, you do that in your life. Love Does is not just the name of your book. It's also an international nonprofit that fights for freedom and human rights, works to improve education, helps people who need a voice, and you're doing a great job with that. You operate in Uganda, in India, Nepal, Iraq, Somalia. How did all this work start? How did you get going on this? Of course, you had the philosophy. We talked about that for the last like 10 or 15 minutes about the philosophy and the conceptual thing inside your heart. But how did the work start?
Yeah, plane ticket. Sometimes we make it really hard. It's between you, you and Delta Airlines. Like, just get over there.
Over there and do it.
Yeah, just start. And then, you know, the crazy part, you'll meet somebody. Probably the guy, the taxi guy might be the first one you meet, and then somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm a lawyer, so I headed for the court. And I just found the guy that had Uganda was in the middle of a civil war. I found the guy that had the most machine guns out in front of his office. I'm like, that person, I want to meet them. Mm-hmm. And so I like got past these guys. I'm like, careful, excuse me, safety. And it turns out it was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And I asked the secretary, like, can I meet him? And he's like, do you have an appointment? I'm like, not really. But I just came 20,000 miles. Like, could we meet? And they disappeared and they came out and said, you can. And it started this beautiful, almost 20-year friendship.
Wow.
And he's the second most powerful guy in the country. And it starts because you show up. He didn't know me from Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, God does that. He can use Colin Powell, but he uses unschooled, ordinary people more. I mean, read it. It's just always just... people, the fishermen, they always had their nets on the wrong side of the boat.
Yeah.
He's like, let's use those. Here's this lawyer that's like, you know, stumbles into somebody's office. So if we could just be actually present with people and no agenda, the agenda, be with them. It isn't like this messed up version of friendship, which is called like, what is that called? Networking.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, just be friends.
Right.
Like, that's it. There's nothing on the other side of the equal sign. And our worldview is like Jesus is on the other side of the equal sign, but I'm not trying to talk somebody into Jesus. I'm just trying to be a friend because I think he leads people to himself. We're just be with people.
I've heard a lot of times you've said something along the lines of, we spend the majority of our life as believers hoping for other people when really we go out there and actually help people. There's a difference between the two. Break that down for us.
Yeah, and there's a really bright guy, and he's an awfully nice guy, too, that wrote a book called When Helping Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the premise of the book is correct, actually, but I'd just be so afraid that a million people would stop trying because they didn't want to hurt somebody. I don't want to. And so what I want to do is just actually speak accurately about just, if you want to help, just start. Like literally, just start. You don't need letterhead. You don't need a nonprofit. We spend all this time trying to figure out what the hoodie will look like.
Yeah.
Forget it. Just buy a plane ticket. Go over. You know, get some French fries. Like literally just start. And then it's not just whimsy. It's a strategic whimsy to say, okay, so now what did this country actually need? And the way you find out is by starting, meeting some people. We started schools like in all these different countries because that's what they need.
Right.
And there's something beautiful, and there's thousands of needs, and there's thousands of us. And I have just this overarching idea that all together we make one really cool person, but we kind of need other people. So I'm not trying to make you like me, and I'm not trying to make me like you. I'm just thinking, here's another friend of mine. We're going to go try to be like Jesus, but you'll do it your way. Like, right? This idea of like we're riffing all in the key of Jesus, but it's just beautiful jazz. Just go do your thing.
Yeah.
Instead of critiquing what somebody said, what do you think of them? I'm like, awesome. What do you think of those guys? I'm like, awesome.
That's so cool.
What I'm not trying to be is the guy calling balls and strikes. That makes us an umpire.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to be a participant.
Now, from a leadership perspective, you say sharing your life with the right people is really important. Okay. As a leader, who should leaders share their life with besides their family? Because they've got this big, huge congregation, they've got all these people. But who should they be sharing their intimate life with, and where's that balance?
I would say figure out your wiring harness. And each of us are come from the factory wired differently, you know, and I'm wired to be with everybody. Oh, remember I put my cell phone number on the last page of 1 million books. I get 100 calls a day. I can't get a thing done because I don't send people to voicemail. It's terrific.
Wow.
Yeah. And so would that work for Sweet Maria Goff? Oh, heck no.
Right.
Right. So I'm just trying to be me and to say, I want to be with people. What I spend a ton of time doing is trying to find balance in my life early on. I spend so much time trying to find balance, I literally tipped over. I'm just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And you know what I realized? I'm back because I've figured out like, oh, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I just want to be with people. And would that work for the next person? Maybe yes, maybe no. I know that as you find your sweet spot, what's working. And here's the change in me among many. I used to think like, how's that working for me? And I think people that are trying to lead well ask a different question. They say, how is your life working for the people around you? Because if my life isn't working for the people around me, it ain't working for me.
Wow.
So that's the thing. So I literally ask my kids, how's my life working for you?
Yeah.
And they've been able to say, actually, not right now.
Right.
And so, and it's beautiful. So find these little waypoints during your day, just as a practical thing. When somebody asks you, and it'll happen a dozen times today, they'll say, how you doing? And so it go through a little checklist. I'll ask, how's Sweet Maria doing? How's Lindsay doing? How's Richard doing? How's Adam doing? And if you don't know how one of your tightest people are doing, say, actually, let me get back to you about that and call. I've called my daughter before and I'll say, somebody asked me how I'm doing. I can't tell them the answer to that until I know how you're doing. Because if you're okay, I'm okay. Somebody should write a book. So what if we do that? And it hasn't happened yet, but wouldn't it be beautiful if she said, actually, Dad, let me call my husband and find out how he's doing so I can tell you how I'm doing so you'll know how you're doing. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Just find these little cadences in your life, the things that help remind you, this is who I am, and this is who I'm becoming. And ultimately, you know what? We're becoming love. Wouldn't that be crazy? God. People ask me, how do you turn into love? I'm like, I don't know. I'm still turning into it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you have a new initiative called Engage, and it's a way for people to become more involved in the work that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about this.
We have just about 1,000 kids right now in 7 countries in these schools. And so we just make it possible for people to connect with the kids. We don't need their $30 as much as we need people to connect with kids. But what a better thing to do, just send them to school.
Yeah.
So we can feed them and clue them and teach them. So we've got these kids that are itching to go. So those that aren't engaged by somebody else, I just pay for.
There you go.
So literally there's 287 kids right now that just don't have some family that they feel connected with. And so they're stuck with me. And I'm like, let's upgrade. Let's give them somebody awesome. So that's what we do. We just try to connect these kids together with families and then just do life together.
That's cool.
I noticed like the organizations are terrific, but just Jesus didn't have one. Mm-hmm. What he had is just a bunch of people like us. So we're knit together. He called us not only the bride of Christ, but a family of God. Mm-hmm. And I just want us to be a family. That's why I answer my phone. It's like a family member's calling.
Yeah. How does somebody engage in Engage?
Yeah, they have just a website for lovedoes.org.
Okay.
And then just say, it says Engage. And just go grab a kid. Go get a dozen of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, obviously, you're doing a lot of great things. You got to let people know a little bit about it because you want to model and you want to inspire. But then you also have a very good awareness that your treasures are in heaven. How do you balance the balance between those two things?
I think people just want friends. Mm-hmm. You know, don't you? I do. I don't. At the end of the day, I just want a couple good friends. Mm-hmm. And so I think the way that we speak to one another, particularly those of your listeners in leadership, just like lead with friendship. I want people not to meet a bunch of information. Yeah. I want them to meet Jesus. And the way they're going to get there is by meeting a nice guy, a nice gal that is just their friend.
Yeah.
And I just believe so much that we don't need to talk people into things. We don't need to be the lawyer for Jesus.
Right.
I'm a pretty good lawyer. And that's what I realized. He doesn't need one.
Yeah.
He just needs humble men and women that first, way above all their programs, they just want to be friends and to say, hey, how can I be helpful? Literally, I have business cards that don't say lawyer, that just says helpful. Because that's
fun.
My goal.
Yeah,
because I'm not looking for business. What I'm doing is looking to be helpful for people. And then for each of us, we do it in a different way. Some people are really bright at one thing or another, and I'm just so glad. So that's one way to be helpful. Another way to be helpful is to be just with each other. Just throw the ball around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Bob, it's been a great pleasure to have you in the studio, and we're honored that you're here, and we're inspired by your work. Thank you.
Yeah, this has been really fun, and I'm so glad we're friends now.
Yes. Some folks you know digitally for a long time, and then you finally get to know each other.
We just fixed that here.
Yeah, very fist bump. Boom. In person. Well, thanks again for being here with us.
Thanks.
Well, what a great conversation that was. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed that particular interview. You know, some people that you're around, they just reek of Jesus. They just ooze of Jesus. And he's definitely one of those people, and definitely counted it a huge honor. Now, many of us are not wired like Bob. He is unique, and he is walking fully in who God created him to be, which, of course, is very admiring. It's very inspiring. But even through the unique packaging, he laid down a lot of great wisdom for us to either implement or revisit in our leadership. He talked about time management. He talked about self-leadership, prioritizing our lives, the power of the tongue, intentional systems with the app on his phone. He said, I only say what I can afford. So he has a system in place for, he has to pay like a penalty every time he says something that's sharp towards somebody. He said, I don't swing at every pitch on social media. I'll just let that be convicting in itself for those of you that are very involved in expressing your opinion, positive and negative, on social. He says, you can be correct, but not right. That is so true. He said, figure out what arguments to lose, which is most of them. That's interesting. Great conversation for your team. Just an inspiring story of going down there and getting something done in Uganda. Lots of stuff that's in there. And like I said earlier, there's a science to leadership and there's an art to leadership. And he has definitely mastered the art side of just really living it out and being a great example. So I got to ask you, leader, what is your Uganda type initiative that you need to pursue? Now, what flight do you need to jump on? What is your Uganda-type initiative that you need to go kick down that door? Great stuff from Bob Goff. Thankful for him. Be sure to reach out to him and thank him for his time and thank him for his wisdom. He's very active on Twitter and also on Instagram, and I'm not sure about everywhere else. And, of course, he has his name, Bob Goff, with two Fs, and you can find him very easily. Well, I am going to announce our book giveaway winners and also dive into your leadership questions next, but I do want to let you know about a great leadership opportunity that's coming up very soon with our Entree Leadership team. Some of you may be familiar with our Entre Leadership resource, but as you know, this broadcast is brought to you from Ramsey Solutions, and we work closely with the Entre Leadership team that brought the New York Times best-selling leadership book, Entre Leadership, to our different leadership communities. And if you don't know, Dave Ramsey and the Entre Leadership team have several events all over the country that actually break down what's in that book. It's the playbook behind what makes this such an incredible organization. Well, we are doing something brand new on October 19th, next month. We are doing something brand new. We're going to be providing a live stream of the Entre Leadership event that's happening in Kansas City right there on October 19th. Now, there's going to be no captured video, so you can watch it later. There's going to be none of that. It's just a live stream for that day only. So if you're interested in details on that, maybe you want your whole team to dive into a full day of Entre Leadership right there at your campus or right there in your workplace, make sure you check out stewardshipcentral.org, and we will provide a link there, stewardshipcentral.org. Now, book winners. Book winners from last episode with Kevin Gerald and Pastor Derwin Gray. We did a drawing of those of you who engaged on social media over the last month, and the winners are Santos Samayoa, Brian Tatum, Robert Ward, and Jason Laporte. We will be sending you, you'll be receiving a copy of The High Definition Leader by one of last month's guests, Pastor Derwin Gray. If you didn't check out that episode, I want to encourage all of you to go check that out. It was absolutely fantastic. All right, we have time for one question. The question is from Jason Laporte on Twitter. He says, what is the one effective way to lead people back to God who have lost their way? How do you keep people engaged? First of all, we got to have reasonable expectations. A lot of times we expect in church leadership that people are going to take this perfect linear path. They're going to get saved on this day, and the very next week they're going to get baptized, and the very next week they're going to get in a connect group, and the very next week they're going to start serving. And it very rarely works out exactly like that. So to have reasonable expectations, I think, is a good start. I think we got to realize that people engage. You said how to keep people engaged. People engage in different ways. I think a lot of times we subconsciously think to just engage through small groups, through serving, or through the weekend. But some people engage with activity groups. Maybe it's over coffee with one other individual. We've got to have several on-ramps for people to be able to engage, several hooks in the water for people to engage. So we've got to think through all of those different things that you are equipped for as a leader and that you're equipped for as a church. I think another thing that comes to my mind is modeling. You've heard it said before that people don't care about what you know until they know that you care. So I think you got to model these things. You got to inspire people. Whatever the steps they need to take in their journey, you need to model those through attendance, through serving, through giving, through connect groups, through Sunday school. For those of you that are doing that model, we want to make sure that we're modeling. Also, you need to speak their language. Speak their language. And I'm not talking about different geographical languages. I'm talking about just being relevant with where people are at in your community. Okay, don't be weird. Right? The Bible says, be in the world, but not of the world. I know, I get it. But don't be weird either, right? If you want to say something like everyday people say something. Don't use these big church words that nobody understands. You got to make sure you speak exactly where they are at in their journey. And so just don't be weird. Another one would be add value to their lives with no strings attached. Add value to their lives with no strings attached. What you're doing is you're building trust. You're putting change in that relationship. And so there will come a time where you're going to make a withdrawal, but just continue to add value to their lives. And listen, if nothing ever comes about it, you planted the seed, somebody else will water it, or someone else planted the seed and you're watering it, and they will be there for the harvest. And just think through baby steps, okay? Think through, what is the little tiny step that they can take next? A lot of times we really want them to make these big leaps and cheer them on, okay? And just remember, more flies are caught with honey than vinegar, okay? So just continue to add value to their lives, be kind, and model for them, and pray for them, and always steer the conversations, not with Jesus juking, okay, but make sure that they understand there's a spiritual component to their life. I think all those kind of things would help. All right, going to take a couple more questions. This one comes in from Alyssa. She says, what's a biblical response to someone who is in debt and asks for financial support to go into full-time ministry? Alyssa, I would just say that they have a responsibility to steward what they've been entrusted with, and we do too as the giver. Okay, there's two different, they're kind of separated, okay? We've got the responsibility to make sure that there's fertile soil there, that there's a good plan, that there's going to be some ROI on our gift, that we've budgeted for it, that's above and beyond the tithe. They've got a responsibility that they have separately, you know, between them and God on how well they steward their finances. But you've just got to ask yourself, has God called us to this? Make sure you pray through it. You've budgeted for it. It's above and beyond the tithe, you know, that you are making sure that there's a good return on that above and beyond giving. So it's two separate things. Them being in debt shouldn't qualify or unqualify your gift towards them. Another quick question here is, what do you do when your leader doesn't have passion? That's a tough one, right? Well, first and foremost, you have got to add a ton of value. You've got to be adding value to the organization. Otherwise, you're not going to have any influence on changing that. You've got to be not only killing your KRA, your job description, but going above and beyond. You've got to be solving the biggest problems for the organization. That will get you the influence necessary to make a difference. And regardless of your position, regardless of that sign on your door, that sign on your desk of what your title is, but that will give you the influence. And then you need to encourage him or her like crazy. Okay. Just always be encouraging, adding value to them personally and adding value to them professionally. Also, you got to keep leading strong. Lead strong so that your team is the most passionate team on staff. Okay, but I will say this though, from experience, be careful that your expression of that passion is actually appreciated by your leader. Okay, so they may appreciate your passion, but they could be annoyed by your choice of expression of that passion, if you know what I mean, right? Don't be obnoxious in some kind of expression that is not anything that has anything to do with the culture. Okay, so you want to express some passion within the boundaries. Don't be obnoxious, okay? So I got to make sure I clarify that. Well, folks, that is it for this month. I want to give a major shout out to Dr. Ed Young and Second Baptist Houston. They're launching their Momentum Initiative this fall, as well as Pastor Pete Wilson right here in Nashville at Cross Point Church. That's over 35,000 people going through Financial Peace University at the same time between those two churches. And historically speaking, I know you guys will celebrate this. That means over $280 million turnaround for those people and their families in just 90 days. Some incredible discipleship being modeled right there. Pretty cool stuff happening, not only in these two churches, but hundreds of churches all over the country that are doing this Momentum. And I just happen to be very involved in these two churches this particular month. But if you want to know any more information about Momentum, be sure to check out stewardshipcentral.org or simply email me at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. It is awesome to see what God is doing through Momentum. And it's an idea that we launched a few years ago, and God's really getting a lot of glory through it. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed this month's episode. Next month, I'm super excited that our guest will be the one and only Donald Miller. So make sure you tune into that. And so you don't have to wonder when it downloads, simply subscribe. Just hit that subscribe button and it'll download to your phone and you'll be all set. I appreciate you listening. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, I pray that you have not only been informed, but you've also been empowered and you've also been encouraged. God bless y'all.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. If you'd like to learn how other leaders are reclaiming biblical stewardship, head over to stewardshipcentral.org. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his daily radio show and podcast, Chris Brown's True Stewardship, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. by following at Chris Brown on air. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.